I remember myself, whenever I was 10 years old, my mother died suddenly of a thing called acute liver failure. She had chest pains that night. We went to sleep that night with her just kind of moaning and groaning with the pain inside of her chest. Wake up the next morning and our whole house is full of people that are aunts and uncles, relatives and friends. My father's crying. They tell me my mother has now died. And so from that point then, that was in March of 1968 as a 10-year-old young boy. We started going to Missouri where she was buried at, where she lived at and was raised at in Northern Missouri. Every single Memorial Day weekend, we'd go and travel there, make that six-hour drive and go see the friends and family there and go see the gravesite of my mother. But I remember there also very, very clearly, very, very plainly how my dad would always take meticulous time to go through his vehicle back in the 1960s. It's very important to do that especially and make sure everything was in order before that car made that long trip. Back in the good old days, back in the 60s, the speed limit then was 80 miles an hour. We had big V8 engines, cars that were 300 to 400 cubic inches, no cruise control. And so you had to go ahead and just put your foot on that foot feed and hold it there the whole trip yourself with no cruise control. You must check the oil, you must check the water, you must check the antifreeze, you must check your washer fluid. And all these things were all important there before you made a trip like this on Memorial Day weekend. Well, it says in your Bibles on the screen here as well, I believe, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, take heed to yourself and also to the doctrine. The doctrine talks about things we've learned about God himself. Continue in them, it says, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and also those who hear you. So God says, yes, you can save yourself by keeping and reinforcing things you've already learned about the Lord God also himself. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, the King James Version, it gives us here verses here about the Antichrist, the end times. Daniel the prophet is seeing things that will take place hundreds of years in the future, in the year 2012, 2013, 2014, and beyond. And it says, and he, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High God. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Your Bible may say the word persecution there, but most versions say he will wear out the saints of the Most High God. This Hebrew word for wear out is like dripping water upon a rock that slowly, slowly, slowly erodes the rock away by constant pressure and constant dripping over a period of sometimes weeks and months and years. Realize the devil knows that a full frontal attack on us coming at us full blast with all arms blazing is not likely to take you out very fast. But what Satan will do is Satan will try to wear you out by harassing you, by robbing from you little by little, by stealing your joy by a rocky marriage or rocky relationships or by things around you being so busy and so much in turmoil and so much in flux, there's no time for rest or peace or rejuvenation inside your own heart and your own life. So God says, be aware in the last days, do not let the enemy's tactic of wearing you down little by little succeed in your life. Amen? God wants you to be a person whose batteries are getting recharged, not discharged, and not wearing out in these last days. We're going to take a look at this morning here again about how are we sleeping, how much peace is in my life, how much calmness do I have in my very being, how much do I sense God's presence in my house, in my car, in my own self, my own mind, my own life. How much am I at ease in Zion and at ease and at peace with things of God upon the earth? We're going to see this morning here today talk about our emotional dashboard. Now, the word dashboard itself has kind of a negative connotation to that because it got its name years ago, back in again the old, old days of cars. The dashboard was made of metal, and it was made there, it was called the dashboard because if you got into a wreck, the first thing that hits the dashboard was your head. Your head would dash against the board, and hopefully it would not dent it too bad or dent your head too bad if the crash was not too great. I remember back when I first started riding in vehicles in the 1960s, there only was a lap belt, no shoulder harness, there was no airbags, there was no anti-lock brakes. And so many folks did hit their heads on metal dashboards way back in the good old days. Amen? Well, the dashboards now today are made of softer things. There's better protection from that, and praise God, there's more safety. But we're going to see some things this morning here that's on our dashboards and see how some of these things that are there speak to our emotions, how God is saying, let's go through a checkup today. So if you're sitting here right now in your living room, in a recliner, relaxing, comfortable before some kind of a fireplace with hot chocolate in your hand. We're going to go through an emotional checkup this morning here and see what God is saying to you and to myself as well about what is your car saying to you in your life. So excuse me again, females, ladies here. This is for you as well. It's about our emotions, but it's using cars for an analogy in this. So number one here, first thing in on the dashboard is, what's your speedometer saying to you? What's the speedometer for us? Of course, it's first saying, how fast are we going? How fast am I going? How slow am I going? Some of us that are here today need to be slowing down. Some folks need to be speeding up. Amen? If you go too slow, then destinies and seasons for God's work in our life are going to pass us by as well. So going too slow is almost as bad as going too fast. But going too fast not only generates tickets for us, it also can bring a thing called burnout to our lives. And that's why God is saying to us again, I'm a God of balance. I'm a God of speed, sometimes fast, sometimes slow. And I like what our brother said this morning here again as well, that God works all things together in conglomeration for a good purpose. I told you guys here months and months ago that I had a vision coming back from Louisiana on a mission speaking trip years ago, where God showed me that the reason that the Israelites were going to inherit a place of milk and honey was because milk is made by cows and honey is made by bees. The cows are slow. The cows chew the cud. The cows meditate. The cows rest. The cows are at peace. The cows do nothing fast whatsoever that I was raised with on the farm in Missouri. Whereas, of course, the bees buzz around at hundreds of miles an hour, it seems like, making honey, working all day long, and they burn themselves out very fast, and they live very, very short lives upon the earth. And God spoke to my heart and said, tell my people that to live or to inherit the place of milk and honey, there must be a balance between the cow and the bee, the Martha and the Mary. The slow and the fast must come together and form one creature in Jesus' name. Do you see that? The Bible also says back in the Old Testament that God every day gave the Israelites a pillar of cloud by day to give shade to them for rest and a pillar of fire by night. God directs us by fire. God directs us by also clouds. Because God said, unless the pillars move, you guys don't move yourself. So God will direct us by clouds that shade us and slow us down and give us comfort. But also God gives us fire to get us out of our seats, out of our comfort zone, and sometimes burn our bottoms to rise up and take the land in Jesus' name. Do you see it also as well? God's a God that does these things of balance in our lives. What's our speedometer saying to us? On the screen here as well is these verses now found in Psalms chapter 78. Psalm 78 verses 70 72 is David, King David, before he was actually king of Israel, talking about his expertise, his ability, his wisdom there to be a shepherd over the sheep of his own father's pasture. This talks about speedometers of speed and doing things in a balanced way in these verses. It says, God also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold from following, notice that, following the ewes, female sheep that are pregnant, that had young, he brought him. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. What's this saying? This says that back in the boyhood of David, he learned a long time ago, I could let my aggression, my type A personality, try to drive the sheep every time I go out with them from A to B. But David knew back in the springtime, the ewes were heavy with babies inside their tummies or inside their wombs. And to drive them fast would cause them to miscarry and lose their babies and lose the future harvest or future birthings of sheep in the place where his own father lived and dwelt. So what did David do? David fell back behind the sheep and let the ewe lambs decide how fast they would go to not miscarry their lambs. He let them set the pace. He got behind them for a season. He could have driven them, could have gone fast, could have caused them to miscarry, but he said, no, I will get behind them, let them set the pace themselves and go at their speed, lest they miscarry. What God is saying to you and I through these verses is, sometimes you must discern, is it time to fall back and let the people go at their speed, and not to make things rush and go so quickly, it actually aborts or miscarries what God's plan is for their lives. Because sometimes as Christian leaders, we get visions, we get dreams, we see ministries, we see fruitfulness around us, and we sometimes can drive the people so hard and so fast, even in our businesses, that they cannot keep up, and they miscarry the harvest that God's placed inside of their womb. So God says again, hear my voice, check your speedometer. Are you going too slow? Are you going too fast? Put it on cruise control sometimes and be in my timing, says the Lord. Because going too fast can cause burnout and can cause distress in our lives. Number two, second thing we're going to see on the dashboard is, what's your tachometer saying to you? The tachometer measures what? It measures revolutions per minute, RPMs, in your car. Back in the good old days of muscle cars in the 60s, the men that are here that are over 45 years old can attest to this, to buy a car meant to have no tachometer probably in that car because they were not standard equipment. You would buy your tachometer separately, made by Sun probably, and you would put that thing right in the middle of your dash, and it was sometimes so big it would obscure your vision from all the cars in front of you in the middle of your windshield. Amen? The tachometers are important to have because race car drivers had those, because a tachometer shows you when is it time to shift gears. On the tachometer, it's got a thing called the red line. Once your little needle goes to above 7 or 8,000 perhaps RPM, you're now redlining in your engine. You're going to blow a gasket and blow your engine clear up. Tachometers are showing us in the spiritual type realm as well, is it time to shift gears in my life before I burn myself up, and blow a gasket in my life as well? All you that are here have seen bicycles that have sometimes 5 speeds, 10 speeds, 21 speeds. Notice that there's gears in those bicycles. The small gears, whenever the chain goes on the small gears, it's harder and harder to pedal that bicycle. The bigger ones makes it easier to pedal because they're bigger sizes. The same thing is true inside of your car's transmission. Low gears cause higher RPMs for slower speeds, but better torque, better pulling. But high gears are bigger gears that cause faster speeds at lower RPMs and better gas mileage and lower turning of your engine when that takes place in your life. What God is saying to us in the spiritual realm from all this is, in mechanical type terms, is, it might be time also to shift gears in your life, because you might be going too slow, burning up too much gasoline, burning up too much oil, and revving your engine too high unnecessarily. It might be time to shift gears. Now, how do we shift gears? What's some clues to this? One thing that God will say to you is, it might be time to delegate some things out. Maybe your kids can unload the dishwasher sometimes. Maybe they can vacuum sometimes. Maybe somebody else can do the work out there in ushering and greeting and worship team and so forth. Delegate some things out, lest some folks get too burned out and revving is so high they're in low gear and it's time to shift gears in their lives. Amen? Second thing you might be able to do there is you might be able to take and empower folks around you. Empower them. I praise God again for James Kreitz. He's empowering other singers, other musicians, to be able to take and be on the praise team here and do the work of worship and praise for the congregation. Amen? We got folks here like Shannon Porterfield. They're empowering folks to pray. She's training up prayer warriors to pray for folks in one-on-one combat against the powers of darkness themselves in agreement in prayer. We have folks in our congregation who are doing so many ways and so many things to empower people in our congregation. To do that is a wise thing also in your life as well. I remember also in my own life, I had a car that was called a Subaru Legacy years and years ago. Subarus are pretty well-made cars. This Subaru Legacy I had, reverse went out in it. I lost reverse in Kentucky. I was actually over 1,000 miles away, and I lost reverse. I had to go home the entire trip making sure I parked with my car going forward in parking spaces because I had no reverse. I could not back up at all. When you strip out your reverse gear, your second gear, your third gear, whatever gear in your car, what must you do? You have to go to the mechanics and get a complete transmission overhaul. What God is saying through that is, there's sometimes it's time to reinvent yourself. It's time to go ahead and go to the shop mechanic, God himself, and say, Father God, I have stripped a gear. I have no reverse. I have no third gear. Please help reinvent me that I might reach our community for Jesus Christ in a better manner. Amen. God may say use wider screens, use smoke, use lights, use other kinds of music, dress differently there, change your hairdo, do something different to reach folks around you better for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. God may say it's time to take and reinvent yourself. How many folks know that today in America, Montgomery Ward does not exist? Now, why is that? They refused to reinvent themselves. The same old escalators, the same fonts on their lettering, the same advertisements, the same cases for their jewelry, the same carpets, the same colors on their walls. They would not keep up with the times, and they went bankrupt, and they went broke, and don't exist today. Now, years have gone by, and there's still Sears and JCPenney's around. They're reinventing themselves all the time as best they can, but they've also had their own struggles on the face of the earth. Because in the old days, we all knew about Penny's, Sears, Montgomery Ward's, and these guys reinvent themselves and they want to survive in today's economy. JCPenney's, a few years ago, they said, we will no longer offer sales at our stores. We'll just take all the prices, lower all the prices like HEB does, and have no specials like Randall's does. And through that, we hope to increase sales in our chain of stores across America. Well, guess what? It fell flat and did not work at all. Penny's went backwards, not forward. The good news is Penny's changed that very quickly, and they now offer sales once again, and their sales are picking up. They show us in business you must sometimes be willing to reinvent yourself and find out what's working, what's not working, scrap things that don't work, and bring in things that do work to bear more fruit in Jesus' name. Cheryl and myself, we've been stuck sometimes with the same restaurants to go to. We live in Round Rock. There's many good restaurants. How many folks know this? In Round Rock and Georgetown. And so I can be content most of my life to just find restaurants in the Round Rock, Georgetown area. No big deal, no big problem. My 30-year-old son, though, he says, you guys are getting boring. You're getting too predictable. You're going to the same restaurants in a 10-mile radius. It's time to broaden your horizons. So every month now, what Daniel does for us, takes us to a brand new restaurant never been to before, somewhere in the Austin Metroplex. And about a month ago, we found ourselves in a place called Threadgill's. Threadgill's was actually visited by Janis Joplin decades ago. Her picture's on the wall, signed, I think, even by her. Threadgill's is full of old country type comfort food. They've got tremendous chicken fried steak, great peach cobbler, so forth and so on. Not a good diet place at all. But Threadgill's does have good food, amen? And so every month now we're finding a brand new restaurant with our son's help that's outside the Round Rock, Georgetown area. What God's saying to you and I is, let's go ahead and start doing some things different in our house, in our hair, in our homes, in our lives, and sometimes reinvent ourselves perhaps to not find ourselves in a rut in our lives, okay? So don't all change your hair color to purple or blue tomorrow, but I'm saying think about some things you can do to reinvent your house, your furniture, your design, your car. Some things need to change sometimes to bring us even more so up to date perhaps in our lives, okay? So number three, third piece on the dashboard today to change and look at is, what's your amp meter saying to you? What's an amp meter? An amp meter shows you how much voltage is in your battery that's going onto your engine. All of us have got lights and gauges on our cars. One of those gauges today probably is an amp meter that shows how many amps of voltage is going through your battery into your engine to fire your spark plugs and make your spark plugs fire your gasoline explosions that make your engine actually work. Amen? The amp meter is very, very important to have and important to see there. And back in the good old days again in the 70s, most cars had lights, not gauges. My old Camaro had a light. I remember many of my friends would say, these are called idiot lights. Now, why is that? Because they only came on when it was too late. When your battery's already shot and your alternator's already totally blown up, then the light came on in the middle of the desert of Arizona somewhere. And guess what? Your car died, and you're stuck out there with no cell phone. There's no cell phones in 1975, amen? You're out there in the middle of nowhere with no cell phone and an idiot light coming on saying, guess what? Your battery's dead. Well, praise God, today there's gauges, and the gauges show you beforehand how low your battery's actually getting. It's time to check your alternator or your battery to see what is wrong. What's it stand for today? The amp meter is the stands for the anointing upon your life. It's the fire that God places in us. And the question this morning is, where is your anointing at today? Is your needle where it should be? Or is your needle way down there somewhere in the cold era, cold place, that God wants to rekindle a fire back into your life? We know the anointing breaks the yoke. One of the main ways it does this is by increased favor. The anointing actually brings favor to your life. I myself, I know very fast if I'm supposed to go to a foreign country a second or third time, because when I go there, if I don't sense God's anointing, if I don't sense God's favor, if I don't see increased opportunities there for other ministry in the future, I know it's probably not a place that God wants me to go to on an ongoing basis. There always should be increase and favor and fruitfulness wherever God puts you at, if God's amp meter is in normal mode in your life. Amen. That fire should be there. That favor should be there. And there should be more and more increased opportunities in that place if God's in that place He's sent you to go to in your life. How do I increase the anointing? How do I do that? How do I increase the anointing in my life? Here's some keys to write some things down this morning. First of all, the Bible says, remember, God resists the proud, but God gives grace, anointing to the humble. So humility brings in God's anointing. What does it mean to be humble? To be humble means I'm going to get myself as low as I need to get to let God put any load on my back that God wants to put on my back to serve Him in abilities, destinies, and power and might according to God's desires for my life as well. What else can I do besides this? We can also increase the anointing by knowledge, revelation, and understanding. That's why God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God says, I will increase anointing in your life by knowledge, by wisdom, by revelation. And these things all take place by reading the Word of God, coming to services like this, praising God, worshiping God, and also sometimes even spending time in prayer with God, that God may put things in our minds and hearts that come from heaven to our soul, to our minds, and to our hearts. Amen. God will also increase anointing by rest for your life. Rest. The Bible says that Elijah the prophet was worn out by Jezebel and the prophets of Baal. They wore him out in the battle. It was so victorious for him, but it was so taxing for his body. And God told Elijah what? Go to Mount Carmel, lay down, and go to sleep. He goes to sleep and he wakes up and an angel's there with fresh bread from Round Rock Donuts. Fresh Round Rock Donuts. I believe that. And Starbucks coffee. And he said, now drink and eat and go back to sleep again. And he goes back to sleep again there. He wakes up, more Round Rock Donuts, more Starbucks coffee. And God said, just lay there and rest, because you've gone through a mighty battle and you've lost your anointing. You want to quit. You want to give up. You want to run and run tail and get out of here as fast as you can. And that is not the anointing, says God. That's your flesh. That's your mind. That's the enemy. That is not God, okay? So sometimes you just need more sleep, more rest, more balance in your life to get your body, your batteries recharged again inside your body. You can also do this by relationships and impartations. God also will increase anointing in your life. Get around people who are where you want to be in your life. If you need more business sense, get around successful business people, amen? If you want more car sense, get around good mechanics, know all things about cars. Reasons you see me praying like I pray in this platform, in this church, is because I received impartations years ago, decades ago, at Christ for the Nations by Larry Lee, by Dick Eastman, by Frieda Lindsay on what prayer can do. I've seen with my eyes nations shaken by prayer. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen demons cast out. I've seen lives changed. I've seen cancers healed by the power of God through prayer. You will never convince me that prayer can't do anything with God's help. Amen. And so you're going to see me praying not less and less, but more and more in this church and in my life. Because I know what prayer does. And I've received an anointing inside of my life for prayer. I'm going to keep right on praying till Jesus Christ comes back, when prayer may cease. And worship keeps on going and going and going. Amen? You might see a prophetic edge in my life as well as Cheryl's. We received that many from Bill Hammond's ministry in South Africa back in the 1980s, laying hands on us, praying over us. God, I release a prophetic anointing on this couple. I began from that point on prophesying more, seeing things more, having more prophetic insight take place in my life. So these things take place by impartations and relationships in our lives. And last of all, spiritual pursuit of fasting, praying, and listening will also increase anointing in your life. Last of all, number four, the fourth piece of equipment on your dashboard is, what's your temperature gauge saying to you? Temperature gauges measure your heat. What does heat stand for? Heat stands for a thing called anger in your life. Your temperature gauge, your water goes through a thing called a thermostat. When the thermostat sticks and your oil is almost running out in your engine, friction will begin to build up in your engine and cause the heat to get higher and higher and higher in your engine. Once your heat gets above 180 or 200 degrees, it starts damaging your engine and your transmission. You must then pull over and get more water or fix something in your car, because you're going to take and blow a gasket in your car. Cheryl knew herself back about 25, 30 years ago. I think it was back in Waxahachie days. We had a Buick station wagon, 350 V8 1979 Buick station wagon. The thermostat stuck, and she still drove the car another, 15, 20 miles, and it got so hot, it did a thing called it warped the heads on the engine. $300 repair back in college days. So we weren't very happy. None of us were, but it had to be fixed and repaired. Amen. What God's saying to you and I is, when you blow your gaskets and get too hot, you're going to warp your heads. Amen. I don't want none of you guys walking around with warped heads. When your head gets warped, anger comes out, meltdowns take place, and you got to go to machine shops to get your head adjusted by God Himself. Amen. So I want to say here before I close that again, anger is not an emotion. Anger is a condition that can be fixed by the power of Almighty God. Amen. Fear and greed are emotions. Anger is a result of roots inside of us that God wants to dig out of us, so no more anger can dwell inside of us or manifest through us at all in our lives. Amen? A huge cause of anger among Christians, I found, is guilt and condemnation. You might have been raised in a church or a background, perhaps, that taught you that God was watching us to see what's wrong with us. And I never quite can measure up to making God happy upon the earth. There's always something I'm not doing that displeases God upon the earth. And so we get ourselves in a thing called performance mode. And you never can perform enough to make God happy. That is called religious bondage. Amen? God loves you as you are because the blood of Jesus Christ covers your life. When God sees the blood, God sees love. And God's love will be upon you unconditionally when He sees the blood of Christ in your life. You can't work any harder to make God love you any more than He loves you today. Because God is the same today as He was yesterday, today, and forever. I want to remind you guys again that Jesus Christ gets baptized in water, has not done one miracle, one healing, one message, one sermon yet. And God says what? This is My Son, and I am well pleased with Him. Not done one work for God yet that we know about. This is My Son, and I'm well pleased with Him. So James, come back to the platform to help me out here at the close of the service. I want to say today, if you're in a category today where you're finding anger is unchecked, you got to realize that this thing is going to blow some gaskets. And this anger problem is there because there's something not flowing right inside your mind and your heart. The oil, the water is not flowing right. But the good news is God can take every blockage and remove those blockages that are given to Him, as only He can do. Amen? When our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I'm going to close this in prayer in a moment. But I want to say today, there may be people here this morning, I sense, going through anger situations where you can't control your mouth. You can't control the outbursts. And it might be because there's guilt, there's condemnation, there might even be shame from past sins, past failures, or things today you're thinking inside your own mind. You're seeing God requiring more, and I just can't seem to give enough to make God happy. These are lies in the pit of hell that will drive us and drive us and drive us in low gear, revving our engines at high RPMs, burning up our engines because we're trying to please a God who asks us to perform and jump through the hoops to make him happy. God is not like that. God says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am a good shepherd, a gentle shepherd, a calm and meek shepherd. I'm a God who loves you as you are. I'm a God who asks you to do things only when I know there's grace to do it. I never ask you to do the things above all that you could ask or do yourself in your own power and might. I will always give you the strength and power and might in my abilities to do what I call you to do, says the Lord. And what God is saying to us this morning is anger is not of God's kingdom. That's why the Bible says in God's kingdom and around his throne, there is perfect peace forevermore. There is no anger in heaven. There's no turmoil in heaven. There's no extra heat in heaven. There's only coolness and calmness and peace and presence and love and anointing and grace and praise and worship and things that take and tear off anger, not things that would bring anger to us. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, ask yourself today in this time of a soul emotion tune-up, are any of these gauges a little bit off in your life? What about your amp meter? Is there fire and passion and heat for God anointing in you in your life? What about your speedometer? Are you going too fast and leaving folks in your dust and causing anguish in your household? Are you going too slow, plodding along, letting things go right by you that God's called you to do? You're just not having time to do it. You're just too slow. And also about your tachometer, are you revving your engine too high and not delegating things out, not empowering people around you, not trying to find ways to reinvent yourself, but you're in a rut? God is saying today, it's time to check the gauges of your life and say, Father God, help me by your wisdom, by your word, by your voice, by your power, by your intervention to get my gauges back where they belong in my life, in Jesus' name. Would you raise a hand to God right now and just say, Father God, help me to see all anger out of my life. I confess, oh God, this day perhaps that I'm trying to perform too much. I'm trying to do too much. I'm going through too much guilt and condemnation. And I just give, oh God, my heart to you this day. And I say, Father God, take this anger from me. Let calmness and peace and rest be my portion in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, praise you, praise you, God. Let's give God right now a hand clap of praise. Let's give him praise and thanks for his goodness and kindness to us this Memorial Day weekend. Praise you, Father God. Praise you, Lord. Like I said today, time and time again this morning, because so many men and women laid down their lives bodily for us in world wars, Vietnam War, Korean War, wars before that as well. We now have freedom to come together like this and speak out any verse in the Bible we want to. That's not true in Canada. That's not true in Europe. Certain verses of the Bible put you in jail in Canada, put you in jail in London, in England. The freedom is still here today to worship God, to praise God, put on bumper stickers. Those things are still here. But our freedoms are getting less and less in our country as time goes by. The Bible says, work while it's daylight, before night comes when no man can work. I think what God is saying there is, there'll come a time where it'll be so oppressive by the Antichrist in this world, you can't preach the gospel anywhere without getting your head cut off or being thrown in jail. It could come to that. The good news is today, I have today, I can spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can occupy until he comes. And I will not let the blood of Jesus, who died in a war on the cross, go in vain. I will let that blood course through my veins, and I will be Jesus upon this earth as he works through me according to his good pleasure. And may my dashboard gauges all be in balance as I bear fruit in Jesus' precious, wonderful name.